Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Shankara Building Products Limited Q4 and FY25 earnings call hosted by TIL Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there would be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sayam Pokhrana from TIL Advisors. Please thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Avirat. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for taking out the time to join us in this Q4 and FY25 earnings conference call of Shankara Building Products Limited. The investor presentation has already been uploaded on the stock exchange and on the company website. If you wish to be added to our mailing list, please feel free to write to us. To take us through today's results, we have with us from the management team, Mr. Sukumar Srinivas, Managing Director, Mr. C. Ravi Kumar, Director, Mr. Dhananjay Mirle Srinivas, Vice President, and Mr. Alex Varghese, Chief Financial Officer. We will begin with a brief overview of the quarter and the full financial year from Mr. Dhananjay Mirle Srinivas, followed by a Q&A session. Please note that any forward-looking statement made during this call should be considered in conjunction with the risk and uncertainties that we face. These risks and uncertainties have been detailed in our annual report. With that, I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Srinivas. Over to you, sir.
Good morning, dear investors. Welcome to the Q4 FY25 earnings call of Shankara Building Products. I will start with a comprehensive overview of our performance, highlight key developments and offer some perspective on the macro and business environment shaping our industry. Let me begin by addressing the broader context in which we have operated this year, particularly the developments in the steel industry. As many of you are aware, the steel sector has faced significant headwinds throughout the year. Realizations have declined meaningfully, which has posed a challenge for our top-line growth and weighed on our margins. Despite these challenges, Shankara has shown its resilience and recorded a strong 30% volume growth in FY25. Structural steel tubes and pipes in particular has continued to demonstrate healthy demand, and we have been able to capture this opportunity and deliver healthy volume growth in our business. In Q4, our steel volume stood at 2.58 lakh tons, representing a 33% year-on-year growth. For the full year, we surpassed our 8 lakh ton annual volume target, achieving 8.43 lakh tons, a notable 29% increase over the last year. This volume growth stands out as one of the key achievements of FY25 and is a result of our marketplace model, distribution network, and strong market positioning. Our expansion into new geographies has also yielded encouraging results. We are seeing strong traction in Western and Central India, particularly in Maharashtra, Gujarat, and Madhya Pradesh. At the same time, we have maintained our leadership position in South India, both in retail and non-retail verticals. The ability to grow in new markets while consolidating our presence in the established ones is a reflection of our operational strength in the business. However, while our volume growth has been impressive, an approximate 11% decline in steel HRC prices over the past year has inevitably weighed down on our revenue growth. Revenue from our steel division was up 19% year-on-year in Q4 and 17% for the full year, with the difference between volume and value growth directly attributable to lower steel prices. This pricing environment has been a headwind, but our ability to drive volumes has helped offset some of the impact. Turning to profitability, our EBITDA margins improved to 3.2% in Q4 FY25, up from 2.84% of Q3 FY25. Consequently, we posted a 3.02% EBITDA for the full year FY25 as against 2.95% EBITDA in nine-month FY25. While the sequential improvement is encouraging, margins remain slightly lower on a year-on-year basis, both for Q4 and for the full year. This is primarily due to the inventory losses we incurred after 9 months FY25, which amounted to approximately Rs. 22 crores. I am pleased to report that we did not witness any material inventory loss or gain in Q4, as steel prices stabilized during the quarter. This stability has provided a firmer footing for our operations as we move forward. Another positive development has been our ongoing focus on working capital efficiency. Despite the growing scale of operations, we have managed to keep the finance costs under control. In FY25, finance costs peaked in Q1 and has been steadily brought under control since. This disciplined approach has enabled us to support our growth ambitions while maintaining financial prudence. As a result, our net profits improved in Q4 to Rs. 28 crores, marking a 17% year-on-year growth. This is an early indication that our strategies are starting to bear fruit even in a challenging environment. Now, let me shift focus to our non-steel vertical. The macro environment for the building materials industry has remained subdued throughout FY25, as is evident from the larger industry data. The year began with a slowdown related to general elections, accompanied with lower government spending, softer retail demand, and a heavy monsoon, and subdued construction activities. These factors collectively impacted the pace of growth in our non-steel business, especially in the second half of the year. Despite these headwinds, our non-steel vertical posted a 20% year-on-year sales growth in Q4 and a 26% increase for the whole year. Within this segment, categories such as plumbing, fittings, and sanitary ware has emerged as our key growth drivers. For the first time, non-steel contributed more than 10% to our total top line in FY25, standing at 10.6% for the full year. This diversification strategy is priority for us, and we are committed to scaling this business further in the years ahead. We are also happy to report that our e-commerce initiative taken 2 years ago is beginning to yield positive results. We are registered on popular platforms like Amazon and Flipkart, apart from our own e-commerce store, www.buildpro.store. Sales has grown substantially in FY25 from the previous year, from almost Rs. 5 crores in FY24 to Rs. 15 crores in FY25. This figure may seem a small percentage in the overall picture. However, we see a huge opportunity in this vertical in the coming years. In light of the current environment and our growth strategies, we would like to reiterate our volumetric guidance for the next year. We are targeting to surpass the 1 million tons in FY26. We are equally focused on devoting our energies to scale the non-steel business, both in existing categories and through the addition of new product categories and brand partnerships. I would also like to update you on the progress of our demerger implementation. In Q4, we achieved a significant milestone with the shareholders' approval at the meeting held on 12th February 2025. The next key milestone is the NCLT meeting scheduled for 26th May 2025. Which is expected to be the final NCLT hearing. Subject to regulatory approvals, we anticipate concluding the entire demerger proceeding by the first half of FY26. This development is pivotal for our long-term strategy, as it will enable us to unlock greater value for all stakeholders and streamline our operations in both businesses. To sum up, our strategy remains clearly focused on being omnichannel, with all efforts directed towards achieving higher volumetric growth across retail, non-retail, steel, and non-steel verticals. Our scale has been the cornerstone of success in our industry, and Shankara's extensive market presence through 124 stores and fulfillment centers positions us strongly to capture future opportunities. This scale, coupled with our diversified portfolio and our one-stop value proposition, is what sets Shankara apart in today's competitive landscape for the building materials, marketplace, and distribution industry. Thank you for your attention. We are now ready to open the floor for any questions you may have.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Viraj Mehta from Enigma. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Sukumar. Congratulations for a good set of numbers. Sukumar, my first question is on the inventory side. I'm a little surprised when you say that we did not have any inventory gain this quarter. If you look at numbers of some of, I won't say direct competitors, but some of the manufacturers for whose product we supply in the market, they all have seen, all the manufacturers have seen decent inventory gains. So why have we not seen any inventory gains, especially in March?
See, actually in March, the actual prices of steel started moving up in March itself in that quarter. So the first 2 months, markets were still quite subdued and pipe demand still was, I mean, the pipe prices did not really increase. See, a lot of the primary manufacturers had started seeing the increase a little earlier, probably from February itself towards the month end. So our real steel prices started increasing only in the second half of March. I think that sort of negated whatever, I mean, that sort of negated the negativity of the first 2 months. So therefore, I mean, even if we have gained, it's a very insignificant number to really be reporting.
Okay. So then is it fair to assume that a large part for us, whatever inventory gain we have, will happen in Q1?
Definitely in Q1 we are seeing the price increase in the month of April. More or less the price are stabilizing in this month, that is in May, and we hope that the prices will stabilize going forward.
Right. See, the whole reason, it's not as if one wants to understand the gain part of a quarter. But what we as investors wanted to understand is we were part of the value chain while taking the losses of the inventory. I hope we are part of the value chain when the gains in the inventory also come. That's my only question.
Definitely.
Right. Sir, my second question is on the volume part. You did 8.43 lakh this year. You're guiding only for 1 million next year. Even larger manufacturers are guiding for 20-25% growth. When we are expanding territories, shouldn't our aspiration be more than at least some of the very large competitors or manufacturers as such?
See, Viraj, if I were to give targets internally, obviously my targets are much higher. So we have guided for about 20% volume growth, mota moti. Definitely we are aspiring for a much better volume growth than that.
Right. And in this, you talked about flats being larger portion going forward. What would be flats for this year and what would be your guidance for next year for flats?
Just a moment. I will...
If flats during the year, we did around 1,40,000 tons we did. So,
okay.
We are expecting approximately around 2 lakhs in FY26.
Right. And is it fair to assume, Sukumar, that flats are larger or higher margin business? So, as proportion of flats increase, the margin in the steel division should improve for us?
When we start this very quick growth in flats, it would be marginally better than pipes. But yes, in the big picture, maybe going forward over the next year, definitely the margins will improve as we focus and go deeper into flats. Currently, the bulk of the growth in flats is happening in HRC, which is also quite competitive. And I think once we move into a lot of... the value-added products in GP, etc., I think we will see a better value accretion or a margin accretion.
Right. On non-steel, sir, we have seen growth for this year in 20. So the non-steel growth has kind of significantly reduced, obviously because of higher base. But like, where do you think we can be in terms of non-steel? And in how many stores, like, do you want to increase non-steel to over next 1 year and 2 year respectively?
So we did see a dip, as you said, in the second half of the year, I think because of the market conditions and how we saw construction activity going on. For the coming year, we are looking at 25% plus growth in non-steel overall. We are looking at increasing store count probably in Andhra Pradesh, Telangana. We're looking at North Karnataka as well, and certain pockets in Kerala and Tamil Nadu. So definitely maybe around 4 to 5 stores is what we're looking at as an increase in non-steel for the coming year, which should definitely help us achieve our growth ambitions.
And what will be your margins in non-steel this year?
So we did around 10% gross margin we did in FY25.
Sorry, I couldn't, your voice was a little muffled, sir.
Yeah, in FY25, we did around 10% gross margin.
And EBITDA for non-steel?
EBITDA is coming around 6%.
Okay. And sir, this is my last question for Sukumar. Is, sir, when we cross a million tons, in terms of your aspirational margin, especially for steel division, I understand non-steel will probably improve a percentage here and there, but it really can't move the needle for us. The needle mover has to be steel. Where do you think the steel margins will stabilize over next year, year and a half, from absolute bottom today of like 2.5%, 2.25% to 3%?
We hope to stabilize. We are definitely targeting 3+, so I would say closer to 3.5 in the year.
Okay, sir. And just one request, sir, when the demerger happens, I hope we have actually have consultants with whom we are working, because in some of the cases, the unlisted entity doesn't get listed for 6-9 months, because this is the main business which will get delisted. Like in most of the cases, 10% business gets delisted, so the investor doesn't really bother too much. But in our case, the main business will get delisted. I hope the relisting is quicker and faster and there are no long delays regarding the same.
Yeah, we've got a good consultant on board, and it's one of the big four. And secondly, we are also very aware of this fact. So once the NCLT order is passed, I think we've done a lot of the background work and keeping it parallel ready. So, I mean, we are fully aware of this fact that listing of demerged entities is taking some time. So we would be moving very, very fast.
Thank you so much, sir, and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jatin Damania from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. So, majority of the questions has been answered, but just on the bookkeeping, if you can help us in terms of understanding how was the institution and steel retail business for FY25?
In FY25, total institutional sale was around 1,225 crores, which is contributing to around 22% of the total revenue, wherein channel we did around 1,528 crores, which is contributing around 27%. Balance 2,943 is retail, which is around 52%.
So if we add probably an institution and the channel, then there is hardly any growth in terms of the institution business. So in terms of the margin, when we say that probably we want to aspire a 3% margin, what are the things that probably we will be doing differently that we'll probably get a 3% odd margin in the steel business?
Okay, I think the first key thing in the steel business for margins is in our retail itself. So what you have seen last year is about 58% of the steel business comes in retail in the south. So overall it looks like 52-53%. So number one, retail is very, very critical for margins in steel business. Number two is institutional sales. So I think in institutional sales, the flat products that we have talked about it a little earlier, that is where one of our key growth drivers would be that, which also finds huge traction with the enterprise business. So, or the institutional sales. I think these two would be our key margin drivers in the coming year.
And the growth that we are aspiring, institution will continue to grow at around 10% for 26-27, and the remaining growth will come from the steel business. Is it fair to assume that?
Yes, yes.
And on the margin front, institution gives us a 1.5% margin and the retail gives us 4% margin.
Hello. Sorry, I didn't get your question.
So I'm saying on first on the volume or the revenue front on the institution, this year we reported almost 8% growth. So going ahead, I mean the growth will be in the lower double digit. Is it fair to assume that?
Yes, yes.
On the margin front, how does the margin differ? Because institution is on the lower end of the margin. So is 1.5% or 2% is a reasonable margin for an assumption, or could be a little higher?
No, institutional, the margins are better than channel when you are seeing. So channel, the margins are very, very less. So both together, we did a gross margin of approximately around 3% in FY25.
So I think if we just take institutional apart, the margins are certainly better than the combined margin, what is reported as the channel business. Sorry, as the enterprise business.
Okay.
Non-retail.
Okay, non-retail. So, definitely the retail side, we can do a, assume a 4% EBITDA margin. That's such a sustainable numbers.
Yes.
Right. And so, on the working capital side, I mean, definitely we have around 30 days. But how do we see the movement in the working capital over the next couple of years?
So, we would like to retain the same. Around 30 days will be the total net working capital cycle.
Yeah. And last on the tile segment, definitely second half of the last year was not that good. How do you see traction in the month of April? Have we seen any ramp up? And going ahead with the non-steel revenue likely to grow at near about 20-25%, what will be the overall contribution coming from the tiles?
So I think the subdued market conditions are continuing in the tile business as it was in the second half of last year. We are taking reasonable efforts to grow. I think with the current situation, everything going on, we have taken a muted growth in tiles, but we do see that there will be good growth there. We're looking at adding further product categories in the business as well. In maybe overall non-steel, we're hoping that tile could contribute around 30% in the coming year.
Awesome. That's all from my side. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Netik from NV Alpha Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. Sir, if I look at our P&L treatment, you know, in the last 2-3 years, our finance cost has almost doubled, which has, you know, sort of weighed on our PAT numbers. Now, my two questions here are, sir, one is, why is this so? And second, sir, assuming, you know, our aspirational targets will grow by more than 15% on a top-line basis for both next year and next year, then where do you sort of see this finance cost, you know, stabilizing?
Yeah, I think one of the key factors of the interest going up in the last year, of course, it did peak up substantially in Q1. We've also taken a lot of efforts to sort of bring it down and then hold steady in the subsequent three quarters. I think the primary reason in that was there was a very clear slowdown post the general elections last year and around that period in the first quarter, and probably there was an overhang in the second quarter as well as even to some extent in the third quarter, where overall there was a tendency for government payments to have slowed down. So I think that has definitely improved in Q4. And so I think that is one of the primary reasons why I think what happened in terms of our working capital utilization going up, number one. Number two, the processes to mitigate, of course, I mean, apart from the routine factors that we need to do, we are also looking forward to seeing how much of our receivables we can partly, let's say, outsource, in the sense, if we can take it out, you know, get some of our customers on board with certain NBFCs. We've been working on that for the last 3 to 4 months. I hope to see some sort of a concrete fruition happening in the near future. So I think if that happens, it certainly will also help us considerably in sustaining or even lowering the working capital utilization, primarily the interest costs.
But sir, assuming this takes time or if it does not happen, then our interest cost will also increase in line with our revenue increase?
If you look at it even last year, compared to H1 to H2, there was a substantial increase in the revenue in the H2 part. Still, we have managed to hold on to our cycle and the interest costs have actually slightly come down over the quarter on quarter. I think we are trying our level best to sustain that. And we are working very hard, so we are quite confident that we can sustain it at the current levels.
Right, sir. So my second question is, you know, I wanted to just understand what sort of manufacturing capacity does our subsidiaries altogether have?
Manufacturing, we are having around 3 lakhs metric ton per annum capacity.
Sir, safe to assume out of the 1 million ton guidance you have given, majority of it would be trading and, you know, very minuscule would be the manufacturing part, right?
Correct. Approximately around 1.5 lakhs will come from manufacturing and the balance will be from.
And then my last question is, can you also give, you know, what was the margins in the retail steel versus, you know, enterprise steel?
So retail steel, approximately we are having a gross margin of around 7%. And non-steel, we are having around 10%. On an average, it is coming around
7.25
steel.
Steel and non-steel. Okay, sir. And steel for the enterprise segment would be 1.5%.
Enterprise segment gross margin was around 3% was the gross margin.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. That's it.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Apoor Bandi from ISJ Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So I have a few questions. So my first question is on that we have around 92 stores of Buildpro, right? So do we have receivables in Buildpro as well, or all the receivables are on the manufacturing side of business? Because my understanding is that Buildpro being the store format business, there would be very less or zero receivables. So is it right?
No, Buildpro, there will be some receivables will be there because most of our customers are influencers like fabricator, plumber and small builders. Where we are giving some credit, we will be giving to those customers. This is a normal market practice.
So can you please quantify that how much receivables are on Buildpro and on manufacturing business?
I can come back to you on that.
Okay. So, okay, and sir, when we say retail and non-retail, right, so what exactly do we mean? Like, does that mean in retail we mean by the walk-in customers and non-retail as in the builders? Or like, maybe we can explain that part?
So non-retail would typically be our channel, our enterprise, large-time builders and developers, and the trade business. Retail would classify as our influencers, like contractors, fabricators, plumbers, walk-in customers. That would be the breakup, architects, all of that would be the breakup between retail and non-retail.
And that is why slowly but steadily we are, you know, the definition of the business is going more towards the marketplace model, and we are trying to break that up into a steel and a non-steel.
Okay, sir. Like, do we have any numbers on the split of the business? How much part is retail and how much is non-retail in Buildpro?
Retail, we did around 2,943 crores.
I think 52% overall is retail, and the balance is non-retail.
Okay. And so my next question is on the so how do we mitigate the steel price risk? Because given the margins are very thin, around 3% of kind of that, right? So, and the fluctuation can be very much high. So how do we mitigate that part?
See, number one, obviously your inventory management is very critical. Number two, there is a section of steel products which are not that sensitive at a marketplace to quick volatility in pricing, which is some of our value-added tubes, some of our special categories, where, of course, it's still a small percentage of the overall business, but that is something which we need to focus on more to mitigate steel valuations. The third thing would be is in our retail business. In fact, even last year, whatever we have been able to mitigate largely is because of the retail business in steel, where the any price reductions are not instantly passed on. We do have a lead time or a lag time before it gets passed on to the customer. So these are broadly the areas which we keep working to keep to mitigate the steel pricing.
Okay. And then my last question is on the in the FY25, the finance cost was around 52 crores and the depreciation was around 17 crores. So can you please split it into how much was from building products and how much was from build pro?
How much from building products and build pro? So, so that I will come back to you. I don't have the breakup at present with me.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dixit Doshi from Whitestone Financial Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Most of my questions have been answered. Just wanted to understand one thing. So you are saying that in terms of price fluctuation in steel business, the retail business may happen with some lag. And in the institutional and channel partner business, how does it work? Because there the our EBITDA margin itself is hardly 1.5-2%. So, I mean, fluctuation in the prices can be more than 5% also monthly basis. So how does that work? Or is it some back-to-back arrangement with the institutional and channel partner business?
Yeah, for institution sales, this year onwards, we are planning to buy back-to-back. We are trying to fix up the price with our supplier. And hopefully, these things will help us to mitigate this
price fluctuation.
Fluctuations.
And quite often, even with the suppliers, when there is, if there is a dramatic fall, I think to some extent we get some what is called a price fall clause. We do have certain arrangements with some of our key suppliers where we are, we get a sort of a cushion on excessive falls.
Okay, and in terms of receivables, this around 800 crore of receivable, I assume that you did mention that you do give some credit period to the retail part also, but will it be predominantly institutional and channel business?
Yes.
Okay, and in terms of inventory, it will be predominantly our retail stores at where we are holding the inventory.
Yes, retail and to certain extent for channel.
For channel. Okay, and these 92 stores, all of those are, COCO or there are franchises as well?
No, PPA, all are company owned.
Company owned. Okay. Okay, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nishant Bhatt from Equity Works Limited. Please go ahead.
Am I audible, sir?
Yes.
Okay. First of all, thank you for giving me this opportunity, and I would like to congratulate the team for a good set of numbers. Clearly, the organization is very resilient at these subdued times. One point I wanted to ask is regarding the same store sales growth. You reported around 14% same store sales growth in FY25. I think it's in your investor presentation. Could you share how gross profit per store grew in the same cohort? Has the gross margin per square feet improved? And to what extent is that driven by product mix versus pricing?
Overall, our
broadly, the gross margin last year in the non-steel at the store level was around 10%. So there has been substantial growth in the stores, but I think so that is broadly it. What is the second part of your question, please?
My question was regarding your same store sales growth, right? It is somewhere around 14% as of now. The contribution, has it come from the product mix or the pricing? Is it driven by the product mix or the pricing as of now? Because that is, as I've been seeing that your ticket size has been increasing. That is a trend which has been happening since the past three quarters, right?
Yes, there should be a mix of both. There would be an increase because of product mix and because of pricing.
Okay. No. Thank you. That's from my side. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepak Pudar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I'm audible, sir.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Thank you very much, sir, for this opportunity. So just wanted to understand first, have you mentioned that we have seen some increase in steel prices in the month of, so what's the extent we have increased? We have seen the increase after 11% decline you mentioned we have seen last year, right?
Increase of steel prices in the last couple of months,
especially in March only, it went up around 4% up.
And what about the April?
April, as of now, April it went by around 3% and May looks flat.
And May looks flat. Okay. That's great. And sir, is there any kind of matrix or any kind of sensitivity so that we can understand how will steel prices impact your inventory loss and gain? I mean, a 1% steel prices gain increase can impact how much in your inventory gain? Some kind of matrix would be quite helpful. I mean, to help us understand how your inventory loss or gain can behave going forward.
Yeah. We can work that out, but as you see, it's difficult in this industry because it's varying sizes and varying types of material, and it's very inconsistent. But we can definitely work out something.
No, come again. I didn't get, sir. So what's the sensitivity you're mentioning?
We don't have one yet. We will work on the matrix for you because of the current complications of the industry. I think this would be a first of its kind.
Fair enough. And this year we are looking at 3.5% kind of a EBITDA margin at a company level. That's what you mentioned, because majority is steel only, right, for us as of now.
Yes, we are working on that.
Okay. And what would be our ultimate aspiration for this margin? I mean, is 4% aspiration?
3.5 is for sure. And as the mix of the non-steel gain space, we would definitely, maybe in a couple of years, look at 4.
Couple of years, 4, and this year 3.5. Closer to 3.5.
Yeah.
That's what. Okay. That would be from my side. All the way best to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you can press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Utkarsh Somaya from Eco Quantum Solutions. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Can you please give me a breakup of the interest cost and the depreciation between the two businesses?
Interest cost, now when you're seeing both the business, retail and channel enterprise, you're asking for steel and non-steel or retail and...
Retail and the marketplace business.
Yeah,
the marketplace business, yeah.
So,
marketplace and manufacturing.
Marketplace
and manufacturing, right.
Yeah.
Just give us a second.
Sure.
So marketplace, the total interest cost for the year was approximately around 42 crores, whereas in manufacturing was around 10 crores. That is a breakup of manufacturing and marketplace breakup of the finance cost.
Mm-hmm.
And depreciation, you are seeing marketplace is around 8 crores and manufacturing is around 8.7%, almost 9 crores.
Okay. And also, if possible, can you share the operating cash flow of the two businesses?
Yeah. Operating cash flow of the two business. I will let you know.
Overall,
is around 90 crores is the overall operating cash flow. So the breakup, I will give it to you later. I don't have the offhand figure with me right now.
Okay. Possible, please share it on this call. And just one last thing, that also the breakup of steel and non-steel in the marketplace business.
Okay.
Steel and non-steel.
Yeah.
We'll get back to you on these two details through TIL.
Thank you so much. Best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions may please press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Netik from NV Alpha Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the follow-up opportunity. So my question is, what percentage of our revenue is still dependent on APL? And second question on the same lines is it safe to assume most of the revenue dependent on APL comes from the channel and enterprise segment?
APL will come approximately around 42% is APL.
And is it on both segments or how's the breakup?
The bulk of it comes from channel and enterprise and less from retail.
Right. And sir, my second question is if you could give us the figure of bill discounting for the full year 25.
Sorry, that wasn't clear. Could you please repeat?
The bill discounting done in 25?
Yeah, in March we are around 400 crores was the total bill discounting. And Varangi Avril was around 70, borrowing was approximately around 72 crores. Around 470 crores is the total borrowing as on end of March.
Can I just one clarification? You mentioned earlier that you're working with NBFCs on, dealer financing. So if you can just explain how would this, work, it will help us reduce our interest cost on discounting, or it will give the, give the option for people to borrow directly from the NBFCs without us being involved.
Yes. Yes. So what will happen is this particular limit will go to our dealer where they will be bearing the interest cost. So my overall debtors will start reducing it.
Got it. Got it. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Viraj Mehta from Enigma. Please go ahead.
Sir, just one last question, sorry. Sir, we saw APL Group selling a significant stake which they held in our firm, which they bought through preferential allotment a couple of years back, recently as Friday. In your view, does it change any relationship that we have with them because they are, we sell a large proportion of their products, as you answered in the last question?
Yeah, now let me just quickly trace back as to why they took this preferential allotment about 3 years ago. So I think the primary objective of that was to bind ourselves together better. We have in this 3 years, our offtake from APL itself has grown by more than 3 times, or almost close to 4 times. And today we are also the largest MOU holder, or we have signed the largest MOU holder for the year of 25-26. So objective number one was to cement our businesses further, so that we have a greater volume understanding with each other and a better participation understanding with each other. I think the objective has been very clearly fulfilled and demonstrated. Second, I think at that time, there was also a need to infuse some working capital into Shankara. This was just the post the COVID period. So I think the 100 odd crores that came from APL at that time, a preferential allotment, also, was very useful for Shankara. I think as these objectives have been met, I think we don't see any significant change in their divesting of their holding in Shankara.
So that does not change anything in the relationship, pricing, nothing?
Nothing at all.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Participants who wish to ask questions may please press star and one at this time. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sukumar Srinivas. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
My sincere thanks to all the participants who took time off on a Monday morning and a busy working day. And thank you all very much for participating. I hope we have been able to answer your questions satisfactorily. In case you have any further doubts, etc., please reach us through the TIL and we'll be happy to clarify any doubts that you have. Thank you so much.
Thank you. On behalf of TIL Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.